Verse 19. Ruth 1:19. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? If I may, I'd like to bring two words out of that verse there, verse 21. Did you notice it? I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again. If the Lord would stand by me, I'd like to simply preach this morning for a little while on home again. This is homecoming. So the Lord dealt with me to try to prepare and look to this concerning our homecomings. The homecomings of life, some of them that I may participate in, some of those that I must never participate in. Homecoming. Years ago, my dad was preaching revival at the Faith Assembly of God in Tupelo, Mississippi. Paul Baggett pastored there for years. Daddy would get up every morning and walk, and he walked down to the old church that Elvis Presley's mom went to, and where Elvis Presley sang in the church choir. Dad noticed a book laying there in the old pulpit, picked up the record, thumbed through it, and found Elvis Presley's name on the church roll. He said he walked down to that little old house that's the museum of Elvis Presley, the home there. The old caretaker talked long to Dad one day, and he said, Preacher, he said, one morning I came down here to open up, and he said a motorbike was parked out on the road there, and he said a man dressed in black leather was lying asleep on the front porch. He said, I walked up and made it almost to kick the man and say, Hey, you're going to have to get up. And he said, But when I called out, he said, I recognized it was Mr. Presley. And he said, The man stood up and said, Oh, sir, I'm sorry. He said, But I just wanted to come back home again. It seems like Naomi wants to come back home again. Washington Irving said that home is the rallying place of the affections. He said there's a world of magic in that little word, a magical mystic circle that surrounds virtue and comfort that is never known or enjoyed beyond its hallowed bounds. Home again. In Deuteronomy 21, the word there, it means in the midst. In Acts chapter 21, again, it means that which is one's own. In Habakkuk in chapter 2, we find that word, it means like an oasis in the desert, rest and beauty. And this fond attachment to that well-known place from whence we started life's long race maintains its sway with such an unfailing tug that we feel it even to our latest day. Home again. This past November, we were in Virginia preaching revival meeting, and we realized that we would be able to go home. It was our ninth year of homecoming there at Trinity Pentecostal Tabernacle where my dad pastors. Third Sunday of November's homecoming every year. And so that day we left real early, long before day, and drove and drove and drove and drove. And I even contemplated, amen, just stopping for the night. And I said, no, we'll go on. So we drove late, late, late into the night and dropped the trailer off at my in-laws and went on down to the Gulf Coast and walked in just as they were opening up with the first song, and I stopped at the back and found my mother, and I eased up beside her and put my arm around her. She had no idea we were coming. The glad surprise that, amen, sprang to her face made all of those 700 miles well worth the journey. just to be back home again. Praise God. Naomi wants to go back home again. Aren't you glad we can go back home again? I remember when we first got married, Kathy and I married in 84, and we soon after began to pastor a small church in Leeds, Alabama. That's just northeast of Birmingham. And it was a long time before we got to go home again. And we were finally able to break away, and so we drove several long hours to get back to South Mississippi. Just as we got there, Mom was putting supper on the table. Amen. Fried pork chops, them little small green beans, and amen, mashed potatoes and pie, and just everything you could think of, corn on the cob and cornbread. I never will forget looking up between mouthfuls and saying, Mama, you sure have went to a lot of trouble. I noticed a twinkle in her eye, and she said, why, sugar, it's not every day my little preacher boy comes home. Yeah. Something wonderful about being home again. Amen. Let me talk to you about going home again. Amen. If I may, I'd like to begin with somewhat of a negative note. Amen. And may I preach to you about what I am calling homecoming never. Homecoming never. The home that I leave. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Amen. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begot Lot. Amen. You know the story, amen, of how that they were of the Ur of the Chaldees. Amen. You understand that the principal, amen, city of the Ur of the Chaldees, this was ancient Babylon. Praise God. This was ancient Babylon. God calls Abram out of Babylon. Praise God. He calls Abram out of this world. May I tell you, he still makes that call today. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. God called Abram out of Babylon, the home that I leave, the home that I must never go back to. Amen. Oh, it's the bitter epitaph of many a backslid preacher. Amen. The bitter epitaph of many a lost soul. Tragically and regrettably, they have went back home again, back to this world. Amen. Back, if you will, to what I am calling the dominion of sin. Back to Babylon. Back to the dominion of sin. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we say? Amen. God shall, what shall we say then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law? God forbid. Amen. But under grace, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? Amen. His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart. Amen. That form of the doctrine which was delivered you, being made free from sin. Amen. Ye became the servants of righteousness. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he called you out from the dominion of sin? Amen. Out from Babylon, from the beggarly elements of this world. Amen. From the filth, vile refuge. Amen. Of the wicked, sinful life. I'm glad I heard him when he said, come out of Babylon. I'm glad I heard him say, come out. And that is the home that you must ever leave. That is the home that you must never go back to. That is the home that you can never return again. And that home is Babylon. But I'm glad he called me out of Babylon, never to go back again. Hallelujah. Leave this world behind and never, ever go back again. Back to the dominion of Babylon. Back to the degradation of Babylon. Amen. Do you understand? Amen. The latter end is worse than the beginning. There's something about the backslider that goes back to Babylon, back to this world. Amen. They are worse than they ever were. Amen. The last is worse than the first. Amen. Back to the degradation of Babylon. Amen. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Do you hear me? Amen. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed, amen, to her wallowing in the mire. What happened? Amen. Why the wilderness? Why the compromise? Why the tolerance? Why the backsliding? Somebody has went back to Babylon. Somebody has returned again to the old life. Old habits are easily revived. Amen. Abram. Amen. Oh, I'm glad that he never went back to Babylon. Well, but he held on to the promise. Let me tell you something. Amen. The promise is worth waiting for. I said, hold on. The feast will be worth the fight. Don't go back to Babylon. Don't go back to the beggarly elements of this world. How many God has called out of Babylon went back to the degradation of this world? Now we'll forget when Martin Young got saved. Martin Young was a smart, intelligent boy. God delivered him, amen, from dope and alcohol. He come from a very wicked family. The Lord saved him. He began to work and work regular and bought nice clothes and kept a good clean haircut and, amen, wanted to do right and be right. And he started preaching, and my, could he ever preach. I never seen a man whose tears could so move a congregation as those of Martin Young. Amen. But then an old girl come along, and the devil always sends someone or something along. You hear me? Amen. I never will forget when he was struggling so. Amen. He had a word that he used, and he associated that word with backsliding and the world. He looked at me pathetically and said, "Oh, Brother Shad, I don't ever want to be common again." I knew what he was trying to say. He didn't want to be like that world, the habits, the appetites, the sensual desires, the carnal cravings. Amen. But oh, soon the sway and the tug of sin had its way, and he backslid back into Babylon. Amen. Some time ago, it's been a good while ago, we were passing out handbills, amen, inviting people to church, and there we met him on the road. He stopped. I did not recognize him. His hair hang over his face, matted down on his shoulders, amen, a long beard, amen, laying on his naked chest, amen. He stunk, amen, filth, drink, amen, marijuana, tobacco has again marked and scarred his life. What is it? It's the degradation of Babylon. Until you're worse than you ever were. Amen. Your appetites, amen, are more sensual. Your cravings are more despicable. Do you hear me? Amen. Your mind will become a gallery of depravity. Your thought life will become, amen, sordid and sensual, and will desire and feed upon things that are obscene and lewd. What is it? It's the degradation of Babylon. But I'm appealing to you today. Don't go back to Babylon. Don't go back to the things of this world. Amen. Last of all, the destruction of Babylon. That's why I must never go back to Babylon. Babylon is homecoming never. I must never go back to Babylon. Why? Because he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. Is fallen and has become a habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich, and through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you heard that voice? And I heard another voice. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye may not be partakers of her sins. That ye may not be what? Partakers of her sins. And that ye receive not of her plagues. Hallelujah. Amen. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. That's why you must forsake Babylon. Amen. That's why this world must be homecoming never, because of the plague that's coming upon Babylon. But I heard another voice. A voice said, come out of her. And that's the voice that we must hearken. That's the voice to which we must heed. The voice says, come out. Amen. Stay out. Get out. Leave. And never go back to Babylon again. Woo! Because of the destruction that comes upon Babylon. Years ago when my dad was pastoring, I was at home. A young man and his wife got saved. Precious. Oh, precious. He hadn't been saved but a year, 2 years. And the devil made a play for him. The devil came to him with what was that young man's greatest weakness. And it was the New Orleans Saints and college football. Until he began to miss church, to look at television over at his unsaved dad's home. Help me while I preach. Amen. Until sports consumed his life, and you could see that Babylon was making a play one more time. Until Friday night found him at the local high school stadium, and Saturday he was in front of the TV set all day, and all day Sunday again Babylon was making a play. Until his wife, she came continually, service after service, by herself or either with that young child, and he stayed at home. Amen. But husband, do you know your companion may not always go to church without you? Amen. They too may also not go at all. Come on now. Amen. Soon she, amen, got discouraged, and the devil got them both. It wasn't a year later, there was a call in the late night. Amen. The young man wanted to talk to his pastor. Dad met him over to the church. He sat down upon the altar. His wife had asked for a divorce. His wife had got hooked on hard drugs. He himself was hitting marijuana and drinking every day. And he said, "Oh, Brother Russell," he said, "2 years ago, he said, "my family, we were saved and in the house of God." He said, "But today," he said, "my wife asked for a divorce. My home is miserably wrecked." And I'll never forget what Daddy said. Amen. The young man that spoke and said, "Why, Brother Russell, it seems like I've lost everything. I'm afraid I've even lost my own soul. The destruction of Babylon. My God of heaven, we don't know the havoc, the heartache, the ruin, amen, that we're going to bring upon our home when we go back to Babylon. But let me preach to you all this morning. Stay out of Babylon. I say stay out of Babylon. I say stay out of this world. Stay out of the things of this world. Give the Lord a praise today. Homecoming. Never. The home I leave. Babylon. And now a positive note. And God said unto Jacob, "Arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, "Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went." Verse 9, "And God appeared unto Jacob again, when he came out of Padan Aram, and blessed him." Verse 12, "And the land which I give Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land." Amen. If you'll, amen, bear with me a while. Not only do we want to consider this homecoming as being homecoming never, the home I leave, home leaving Babylon, amen, but the home to which I cleave, amen, the home, amen, that I must ever go to, amen, the home that I must ever go to, I must again rise up and go to Bethel. And that's what some of us need to do here in this house today, is go back to Bethel, amen, back to the voice, back to the vision, and back to the vow of Bethel. It's time to rise up and go back home again, amen, back, amen, to the God we first knew, back to Bethel, amen, back to Bethel, where the healing waters flow. What do you say this morning? Let it be homecoming Bethel, the home that I must have, the home that I must know, back to Bethel, back to God, back to God again. What does Bethel mean to the believer? What did Bethel mean to Jacob, this heel snatcher, this surplanter, this deceiver? Why was Bethel so important to him? Bethel was important to him because this is where he met God. Hallelujah. Angels. Access. Oh, we need Bethel. You see, there he saw the heavens opened and a ladder set down upon the earth and the angels of God descending and ascending. Oh, Wouldn't you like for heaven to open and God open and God send a ladder down to us in this homecoming meeting? What does Bethel mean to the believer? Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Jesus had just cleansed the temple. Amen. He comes out of the sanctuary from the synagogue and he looks upon Nathanael and says, behold an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. And Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Amen. Thou shalt see greater things than these. He saith unto him, verily I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Amen. That is what Bethel is. Amen. To the believer. Amen. In Adam, we dwell upon the earth and mine earthly things. But in Christ, amen, we dwell in the heavens and mine heavenly things. And we have a mediator. Hallelujah. We have access unto the Father. Amen. When we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, he becomes to us the Son of Man, a daysman. Amen. Godless skin, infinite God, an infinite child, deity in dust. Amen. The Son of God becomes the Son of Man. And that's what Bethel is when the Son of God becomes to us the Son of Man, and we have access unto the Father.
It had been 25 years since Jacob had been to Bethel. I cannot say that it had been 25 years since Jacob had prayed a prayer. I only know that it has been 25 years since Jacob has prayed a notable prayer. And the problem with you and I is we have too few notable prayers. We have too few marked prayers. Prayers that change us. Prayers that make a difference in Jacob. Ooh. What did Bethel do? Amen. For Jacob. This is the morning service, so I've tried to prepare these things so it might be easy for your recollection. Amen. Did you note that at Bethel there was re-examination? He gets to Bethel and he wonders, am I the man that I one time was? At Bethel is where I made my vow. The question is, have I kept my vow? The question to you and I today, have we kept the vow? Fairborn, I think, was the writer that had that sermon on dealing fairly with God. Jacob, the first time at Bethel, if you'll do this, I'll do this. And how many times does God do his part and we do nothing? Help me while I preach. Back to re-examination. back to rectification. Amen. Because before he ever went to Bethel, he stopped at Shechem and he buried the gold, the earrings, and the strange gods. Amen. What does that represent? The subtle sins that somehow settle in our life and we are never conscious of them until we begin to go back to Bethel. Amen. But when going back up to the house of God, I realize there are some things that are not necessary. There are some things that I, amen, need not to allow. There are some things, amen, that I need to put off. Some things I need to lay aside. Why? Amen. To rectify my wrongs. Why, Jacob? We're going back to Bethel. Amen. Why are we laying aside? Why are we shaking these things off? We're going back to Bethel. We're going to hear from God. We're going back to Bethel again.
Amen. That's why.
Back to restoration. And the Lord blessed him there. Woo! There would be no greater testimony for you of this meeting if we could all leave saying, the Lord blessed me there. Thank God for the good fellowship, familiar faces, wonderful singing, and the fellowship, but nothing so marked and blessed as God blessed me there. Are you willing to re-examine? Are you willing to rectify so that God can restore you and you can leave saying, the Lord bless me there.
Bless me there. Hallelujah.
Homecoming? Never. Babylon. Homecoming? Ever. Bethel. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory. And they shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. And thou shalt be also a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. And thou shalt no more be termed forsaken,
no more.
Neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thy name shall be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. My little short homecoming message this morning is homecoming never, Babylon. Homecoming ever, Bethel. And last of all, homecoming forever, Beulah land. Praise God. Amen. Do you see here? Amen. The beautiful types. Amen. In the Pauline epistles, we understand the building, amen, of the church. And so the foundation of the church. Amen. And then also the body of the church. And then the function of the church. But most beautiful and beloved of all, the bride. And so the fidelity of the church. Praise God. Amen. Wherefore, my brethren, you also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised up from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Amen. Be well, married, master, husband, married unto the Lord. Be well, homecoming forever, homecoming forever. Be well. See her purchase, her purity, the fulfillment of her promise. Hallelujah. The glorious consummation, the unification of Christ and his church. What is it, Brother MacDonald? It's Beulah land. Home forever. Ooh, the home, hallelujah, that I receive. Yeah. The old man, old preacher, was asked, "What is your theology concerning the coming of the Lord?" He smiled and politely said, "I'm sitting with my feet untangled." Hallelujah. May it be said of us, we're waiting with our feet untangled, waiting for Beulah Land. Amen. When I think of Beulah Land, I say, forget Babylon. Let me find Bethel. I've got to have some access. I've got to have some prayers answered. I want to hold out for Beulah Land. Or, amen. If they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they may have had opportunity to have returned. Huh? Huh? But now they desire a better country. That is an heavenly. A better country. That is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. And he hath prepared for them a city. This old world that never give us anything but heartache, trouble, tears, and turmoil and tragedy. But God's not ashamed to call us one of his own, and he prepared for us a city. Woo! Stand and let's give him a praise. Homecoming Beulah Land. Homecoming Beulah Land. Let's praise him this morning. Let's honor him. Let's worship him today.
Let's come around. Hallelujah, the door's where it always was. The gate's just the same. God's available. Paul told that bunch of heathen on Mars he'll feel after him. He's not very far from. I think if you feel after him this morning with what you know, you get a hold of him quick. Raise your hands again.